This morning I wanted to talk about, is that working? Can you hear me? About how God is good for our health. As a parish nurse and in other work and in my own life, I've had the privilege to work with people as they're working through different issues with their health. And one of the things that comes up a lot is how anger and unforgiveness can affect our health. And I've known it in my own life and also working with other people. And that was just something that I thought I would share this morning. Now, I like to think of the Bible as God's prescription for our life. The Bible is lots of different things. It's a history book. It's got stories in it, parables in it, letters to Christians. But as a Christian, it's more than that. You know, we've got the Old Testament that tells the story of the children of Israel. And then we've got the prophecies about Jesus, about him coming to redeem us, about grace, about salvation. And then later on in the New Testament, we've got instructions for holy living and how we should be living as Christians in our day-to-day life. So I thought I'd... today's prescription then for us is in Colossians. And you know, like if you go to the doctors, quite often they'll say, stop doing this and do this instead. This passage that we've got in Colossians that we're going to look at, which is under the title of Rules for Holy Living, in part one it talks about taking stuff off and getting rid of stuff, and the second part it talks about what we need to take on. So there we've got the two parts of the prescription as such. It's what we need to take off and then what we need to put on. So I thought I'd start by looking at what we've got to take off first. And if you think about lots of the words that he uses to describe those emotions and those feelings and those characteristics that we have, such as malice and rage and slander, at the root of most of those is anger. And anger is a natural emotion. We all get angry at things. And even Jesus got angry when he was in the temple and he saw people selling things in his father's house. He got angry and he sort of threw the tables up and told them to go. But I think the difference between Jesus' anger and lots of the time my anger, our anger, is the root. So his anger came from wanting to bring honour to his father, whereas lots of the time my anger comes from selfish reasons. It's a selfish root, and that's the difference between the different types of anger. So I need your help here. You all look very calm and smiley, and I don't think any of you are that angry this morning, but I want you to imagine that you got here this morning in your car, and as you were parking your car, somebody came and smashed into the back of it, or in Sainsbury's or wherever, and then just drove off, and they didn't care what they'd done to you, and they saw you saw them, but they just don't care. I want us to have a think about what actually happens in our bodies when we're angry. So can you put up our... So we'll start... I've just got a picture vaguely of a body, because I thought it might help us. So can anybody think of what happens the minute you're angry, what happens to your heart?
Or anything.
You do, you tense up. Your heart starts beating really fast, yes, because your heart's beating fast, your blood pressure's going up. You're getting into that fight and flight mode. Your body's getting ready for a fight, basically. Your digestion stops working properly. Quite often people feel sick or have to run to the loo if they're angry. And adrenaline is flowing around your body very fast and telling you to get ready for action. And you're very, very alert. And also cortisol is being released, which is also revving you up. Now, I know we all get really cross and we'll like fire off at, you know, and there'll be a quick burst of anger or rage. But I don't actually necessarily think that is what Paul is talking about when he's talking about the malice. And sorry.
What are you going to say?
Am I croaky?
I've got water.
Thanks, yeah. Sorry. I don't even realise I'm coughing. Sorry. Thanks. It's more the chronic anger, when anger takes root and we can't let go of it. And I want you to imagine again, and this is a situation that happened to me once at work. I was hoping for a promotion and I'd got, oh, thank you. And I'd got a really good idea as to how we could implement something. And I mentioned it to a work colleague. And then few weeks later, I realised that she'd actually gone to the managers with my idea, presented it as hers, and she got the promotion, and I hadn't even, like, anyway. Not that I'm bitter. But I'm just using it as an example, because that can easily take root as a chronic anger, because every time then you think about that person, you're getting angry and you're feeling really annoyed that they've done that to you. And I think that is more what Paul is talking about in Colossians, when we just won't let go of it. And to go back to our bodies again, I wanted to talk about what happens physically when we won't let go of chronic anger. So although we've had that sudden, quick burst of rage, when it goes on for a longer and longer, there are other effects that happen. So in your brain, there's a bit called the hippocampus that deals with mood and anger. And often they found that when people are angry chronically, that then doesn't know when to switch off. And it doesn't know whether it's on or off. And you find people that get angry very, very quickly. Sometimes it's because they've been tense and worked up for so long over an issue that their brain actually starts dysfunctioning and can't work out where it is anymore. Your mental health can be affected. You mentioned you get tense. When you're really angry with somebody and you can't forgive them, you are in a permanent state of anxiety. You're always on the alert, waiting, because you're trying to protect yourself from being hurt again. So it can lead to anxiety and depression. Because you've got higher levels of cortisol running around in your body, that can have effects on the blood vessels. So your ultimately, your heart and your blood vessels can be affected, your blood pressure can be affected, your peripheral vascular system can be damaged as well. What do you think happens with your lungs when you're tense? So if you're angry or tense about something, has anybody ever felt you're not breathing properly? Yeah, you shallow breathe. And so therefore you're not taking in the oxygen as you should do, and you're not blowing off the carbon dioxide either. And again, it can also have problems with your digestive system. You know, you quite often find when people are upset about something, they can't eat or they eat too much. And it can also lead to chronic inflammation within the body, and even eventually lead to cell mutation, which is the start of disease. In 2015, I mean, there's been lots of research into it, but I'll just read you one little bit. It talked about stress and cortisol and the effect on the molecular level in the body. It talked about diseases whose development has been linked to both stress and inflammation are things like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune diseases, and mental illnesses such as depression and anxiety. So we can really see how, if we let these things get a hold, how they can physically affect us as well as our character. So I wanted to move on and talk a bit about unforgiveness. And as I've said, anger can turn into unforgiveness if we hold on to it. So that we can look at unforgiveness, I thought we'd look at forgiveness first. So forgiveness is talked about an awful lot in the Bible. There's, we talk about forgiveness from God, our forgiveness from God, and how we are to forgive other people. I looked up a definition on what forgiveness is, and it says this, that it's a conscious, deliberate choice to release anger, resentment, and revenge. It's that whole thing about it being a conscious decision. I think sometimes, I have in the past thought, I'll just forgive them, and it doesn't work like that. You actually have to consciously make that decision to forgive somebody. It doesn't just vaguely happen in the ether somewhere. In Matthew 18, Jesus was talking. Peter asked him, he said, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? And can anybody remember? Does anybody remember that story? Can you remember how many times seven? I've just given you the answer. Peter said, shall I forgive him seven times? And Jesus said, no, it should be seven times seven. I think it's that, you know, there's no end to it. If somebody keeps doing something, you still need to keep forgiving. And it's not necessarily just for, it affects us more than it affects them. This whole idea of forgiveness, it is the right and the godly thing to do, but it also has a massive effect on us ourselves when we choose to forgive somebody. But I'm not saying it's easy to do. I had another situation, sounds like my life is full of trouble. I had another situation a few years ago, and I'm sure amongst us we've had situations, where something really bad did happen to me. And I knew that I needed to forgive this person for what they'd done to me, but I really, really struggled with it. And I prayed and prayed about it, but I still couldn't bring myself to forgive them. And I think the thing I got hung up on was I kept thinking, well, if I choose to forgive them, then it almost makes it okay what they did to me, and it didn't make it okay, in my opinion. And then I suddenly began to realise that actually I can choose to forgive them, but I don't necessarily have to go back to the same relationship I had with them. I mean, sometimes God does want us to be reconciled, and if that person is... repentance is a very fancy word, but if they're sorry for what they've done, then that's a different issue. But if they really don't think they've done anything wrong and they're still behaving the same way, your choosing to forgive them doesn't mean you have to go back into that same relationship and be treated in the same way that you were. And once I'd got my head round that, I realised I could choose to forgive this person. But again, it even wasn't easy then. Because I found that I would pray and I'd ask God to help me forgive this person. I'd say, I forgive this person. And then I'd be in a conversation with somebody else a few weeks later and this name would pop up. And I'd feel myself going, and I'd be trying to be all nice. And I'd be like, oh, it hasn't worked. But I know I kept having to repeat my prayer for a long while until I realised I had actually truly forgiven them. And now I can talk to this person in the street and walk away. It doesn't bother me at all. Have any of you ever if you've ever had to forgive somebody and it's been a major thing, can any of you think of how you felt afterwards? I mean, I felt a big release after I'd done this. Has anybody ever had the same issues? Maybe it was just me.
God,
yeah,
what did you say?
Big
relief,
yeah, you do, yeah. It is that, and you find also, when going back to talking about the body, when I was still not able to forgive this person, I ended up with gastritis because I was in a constant state of anxiety all the time. I kept being sick. You know, it had a real effect on my physical body. And I think you don't realise what effect it's having until you do get to that point where you can forgive them. And suddenly you're like, wow, I feel different. I feel released. I feel normal again. And I was reading in, you know, about the Lord's Prayer, where he talks about forgiving. That each, you know, it says each day when you pray, forgive people that have upset you and ask for God to forgive you. So God obviously realizes what we're like, and that this is going to come up again and again and again. And I don't know whether I'm scripturally correct or not, but that's what I think. A bit like with the Old Testament, with the children of Israel, with the manna, that they got it every day and they had to depend on God every day. A bit like that with the Lord's Prayer. We're praying every day and asking for his forgiveness and also asking him to help us forgive others. It's a human characteristic, I think, and it is one that will come up again and again. But also the forgiveness has to come from our heart. We think of our hearts as the very centre of our being, and when we hold on to unforgiveness, we often hold it in our heart, and we talk about being broken-hearted. In Matthew 18, again, when he talks about how many times should I forgive, he says you need to forgive from the heart. And there's quite a lot of research that's gone on medically about forgiveness. In America, they're very into forgiveness therapy, but they're realising how much hanging on to unforgiveness can affect our health. And there's one of the cancer treatment centres there have been doing lots of work with their patients as they're going through treatment on dealing with any unforgiveness that they've got, because they've recognised how much it helps patients through their treatment. Right, so if we can go to Colossians again. So the first part of our prescription was what we had to take off. We had to get rid of all our anger and our malice and our hate. And this is what we need to be putting on, our daily prescription from God. And it talks about clothing ourselves in these characteristics: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, forgiving, and binding it all up with love. And again, when you think about clothing, it's something you do every day. And so I often, before I get out of bed, I will pray this. I'll ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me with compassion and fill me with love for whoever I'm going to meet that day. And it's almost like, well, I need to. It's something we need to do often, because these aren't always, you do get genuinely nice people, but these are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's how we develop our character as Christians. And it is something that we have to keep asking for God to help us with. And I just wanted to think about the impact that would be had in our relationships with each other, with our work colleagues at home, and on our own health and on other people's health, if we treated people like this every day. You know, if we treated somebody with compassion and kindness, that might have a massive effect on their mental health and well-being, as well as on our own. And just looking at all these different characteristics, how that affects other people, but also affects us. I just wanted to finish by reading a verse in James that really struck me. And I'll just leave it with you. So it's James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, if we are slow to become angry and quick to forgive, not only are we developing as Christians, but also we would have a massive impact on everyone around us. And it would make a massive difference, I think. Anyway, that's it. Thank you for listening and joining in.